Let's go ahead and open tonight to Luke chapter 11. And there's some real parallels. You know, Jesus taught this same message. I've been teaching the Sermon on the Mount. I think we had lesson number 19 this morning, believe it or not, on the Sermon on the Mount. But he taught this message many times, not just once. And we know that because, you know, there's a Sermon on the Mount, and then he teaches almost identically the same thing over in Luke, and it's called When He Came Down on the Plain. I'm not the sharpest Greek guy in the world, but I know there's a difference between a mountain and a plain. Okay, so that lets us know he taught this message a lot. He taught it probably everywhere that he went. And so thank God we have four Gospels, because, you know, Luke will bring out something that Matthew didn't emphasize, and Matthew will bring out something that Luke didn't emphasize. But it's all the Word of God, and it's all what Jesus taught. So this morning... We didn't call it Ask, Seek, and Knock, but we were teaching on that passage out of Matthew 7, where Jesus says, "Ask, and you shall get your answer. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open to you." We taught on that passage, and but see, I know what's coming. I've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. Tonight, you're going to get a little bit of a preview of what's coming. Maybe the next two lessons. I don't know when we'll get there. But we're going to get a little preview out of Luke's account. So let's go into Luke 11. And just so you'll see that Luke has almost identically the same message recorded here. Pick it up in verse 9. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock." Now particularly notice the word knock. "Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open." And I notice how the Lord, in both Matthew and Luke's account, he really emphasizes the fatherhood of God here. It's, you know, there's God, G-A-W-D, and then there's your Father. And he's emphasizing, "If a son shall ask bread." So he's emphasizing the relationship we have with God as our Father here. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone?" Of course, the answer is no. "If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?" The answer is no. "Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" And the answer is no. "And if you then, being evil," and to me that just compared to God, but if we, even in our condition, if we know how to give good gifts unto our children, and I love this, "how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Well, and so that corresponds really well, doesn't it, with the teaching that we did this morning. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us in every way, helps us find the beams in our own eye and get rid of them so we can help other people get rid of their motes and their beams. And in this passage, he's emphasizing that we go to the Father for bread. This starts off, "I have people that's come that need bread, and I don't have bread to give them." He's not just talking about money or physical bread. He's talking about healing. He's talking about salvation. "Father, they need something that can only come from you. I've come to get it from you to give to them." Well, that's intercession. Amen. So we kind of finished up this morning along this line. Listen, at this point in your walk, I love how Pastor Dave used to tell us, listen, God will walk through hell with you. I don't care what your faults are. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what struggle you are. You are his child. And in this dispensation, if you knock on his door and you got tons of baggage, he's still glad to see you. Come on in. You know, the throne of grace, when you said, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace." And the first thing you receive is not grace, though. It says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy." Well, why mercy? You only need mercy if you did it. Right? The first thing you get is mercy. Well, thank God for that. And then he gives you grace to help. Now, that's his power to help you in your time of need, see? So this word knock and the door will be open. I always think about it with my Lily Cakes. My Lily Cakes is grown now almost. I mean, she's as tall as her mama. But when she was little, my little Lily Cakes, especially when she couldn't talk straight, she couldn't say her L's. Remember that time I fixed her that ice cream cone? Double ice cream cone. Might have been the third one I fixed for her. Grandpa, you know. Her mother says, "You never gave me three ice cream cones." I said, "I was never your grandpa." Grandpa had more license. Anyway, and she saw me watching her eat that ice cream cone, and she'd come to me and said, "Papa, held it out, she would you yake a yito yik? Now, let me just tell you, I don't care what kind of business meeting I'm in. I may have the mayor. I mean, I'm just hypothetical. I may have, you know, the uppity-ups of the town. But at that age, especially when my little Lily Cakes knocks on the door, she said, "Papa, all those guys can shut up." And because I am making room for her. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is trying to convey to us. This now, in this dispensation, I don't care, how did Dave say it? I don't care if you come in with 10 metric tons of flesh on your back and you're struggling. If you come in to see your daddy, you knock and the door will be open. He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to refuse you. But see, that word knock, in the course of my studies, I do a word search on the word knock. So same gospel of Luke, come right on over to chapter 13 though. See, thank God we live in the time that we're in. Thank God everybody here, in the sound of my voice, I know, is a believer. You've received the Lord. You've repented. You're doing the best you know how. And you're going back asking, seeking, knocking to walk better than you have. More like, not better, but more who you really are in Christ. But see, you've got to remember, we've got a whole world out there that needs to be saved. You've got a whole world out there. So I was doing this word search on the word knock, and I came across this verse just two chapters later over in Luke 13. And see, we're going to be studying this in Matthew 7. The very next segment that we're going to study at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is enter at the straight gate. Okay? Well, Luke records that also. So let's look here in Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, and notice, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Boy, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, well, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me. Now notice, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last that shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And there's so much to teach right there. Listen, the key, he has to know you. Now I say, well, he's God. He knows us all. That's not what he's talking about. He says, in Matthew's account, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So this word knock, just wow. Right now, the dispensation we're in, and really for everybody that's still alive on planet Earth, as long as there's breath until he comes, as long as there's breath, there's hope. And if you, in Revelations, I didn't look that verse up, but you know, he says, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens, then I'll come in and sup with him. So the invitation is open to all now, and it's open as long as you're alive. But boy, there's no hope after I'm going to be doing a funeral tomorrow. And one of the lines that I always use, because I'm going to give an altar call. It's a good time to give an altar call. Because I'm telling you, it's the truth. There are no unbelievers beyond the grave. Everybody knows there. But it's too late then. You better be in heaven on the other side. If you wake up in hell, there it's too late. You're a believer, but it's too late. Well, that's what he's saying right here. There will come a time. Right now you can knock. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what you're struggling with. As long as you're sincere and you're coming to him, he'll help you. He'll receive you. He'll give you his wisdom. But you better listen to him. And what he says for you to do, you better do that. Okay. Now, can we agree that it's imperative on that day that we know him? It's imperative on that day that he knows us. Okay? Then I found this astounding verse. Now, it's a Sunday night with Gary Carpenter. What's going to happen now? Get your finger exercises. We're going to do lots of verses. You ready? So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 3. Man, this one how many times do you read a verse and then you read a verse? It just hits you like you never read it before. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. If you love God, he knows you. That's what it's saying. If you love him. Now see, I've been at this a long time, and you guys know I deal with drug addicts and meth addicts and all kinds of addicts and sex addicts and every kind of addict that there is. And almost to a man, almost, and I did it in the prisons for years, man or woman, they say, oh, I love God. Mm-hmm. But they're still continuing in their iniquity. See, he says, depart from me, I don't know you, ye workers of iniquity. But they'll tell you, but I love him. I'm not going to. I love God. They get high every week. Most of them living with their girlfriend or boyfriend. Cheat on their taxes if they do taxes at all. But I love him. Well, let's see. See, what they're talking about is they have some kind of an affection for a Jesus they have made up in their own mind. Y'all remember that one I did about beware of idols, don't create idols? They have created a Jesus that does not exist. They love that Jesus. They don't love this one. Okay? See, well, I love him. Now just picture me talking for teaching purposes. Let's just say I'm in prison. I'm talking with this guy. No, I'm not in prison because they can't get drugs there. So I'm just talking with a guy that says he's a Christian, and he's high when I'm talking with him, and he's been living with his girlfriend for 10 years, okay, but he tells me I'm a Christian, and I love God, okay? All right? Now, here we go, Bible verses. I'm not going to wait on you long here now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. You're telling me that you know Jesus, you love Jesus, and that he knows you, and y'all are good, right? That's what I'm telling you. My daughter's right back there. 1 John chapter 2 verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. What? Now you're telling me that you know him, but you're obviously not keeping his commandments, because he told you to be very, very disciplined against the flesh. Remember? We've been teaching Sermon on the Mount. He said, it may feel like you're gouging out your eye or cutting off your hand. I don't care what it feels like, you deal with that flesh anyway. That's what Jesus teaches. That's the real Jesus. Well, I know him. Mm-hmm. Are you obeying his commandment? No. Well, John says you don't know him either. Let me read on a little more. That's verse 3, 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But now notice this, whoso keepeth his word, that's just another way of saying keepeth his commandments, who keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That means come to maturity. Hereby know we that we are in him. Well, what does hereby mean? We keep his commandments. We keep his word. And that's the only way you know that you know him. If you're not keeping his word, John says you don't know him. Well, if you don't know him, you sure can't love him. It's quiet in this church, but anyway. Let's go to John 14. Because see, where he's taking us is the love of God. If we're going to really be in revival, and we are, then we have to manifest the true love of God. The true love of God is not man's version of love. God's love is love. Man's version is something else. He told me years ago, he said, human compassion is as deadly as poison when it's substituted for my compassion. Human compassion very often will enable. God's compassion normally will not. He'll make you face yourself, repent, come to the knowledge of the truth. So John 14:15, Jesus is the one that taught this verse. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Over in John 14:21, just a few verses down, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, this is a test. Who is it that loves Jesus? Is it the one that only hear the commandments? It's the one that hear the commandments and keep the commandments. Now, they're the ones that love Jesus. All right? You say, well, you can tell me all day long that you love him. But if you're not keeping his commandments, you're just a liar. You've deceived yourself. You love a Jesus that does not exist. You love a Jesus you've made up in your own mind. See why all my messages are shouting messages, you know. Let's finish that verse here. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now come on, we just come down a few more verses. Verse 24. He that loveth me not. Okay, first he gave us the definition of those that love him. Well, those that love him, they keep his commandments. Well, he that loveth me not. It's like Jane see the ball. He's not leaving us any out. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Well, his sayings are his commandments, aren't they? He that loveth me not keepeth my, coming. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but it's the Father's which sent me. Okay, let's go over to, we're going to give you a preview of Matthew 7. The end of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go back to Matthew's account of this. Matthew 7. I've got some of the verses here, but I want them all. See, and we'll pick it up in verse 21 here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, didn't he just say, my commandments, my word is not mine. It's the Father's who sent me. So the word that Jesus is preaching is the will of the Father. Got that? He's not preaching any. He's not coming up with nothing on his own. He said, this is what the Father gave me, and I'm just giving you what he gave me. This is the will of the Father. Okay? So he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many. Oh, that's a scary thing. Many. Many will say to me in that day. Many. Lord. Lord. Now get this. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. He doesn't say they didn't do it. You know, there was a guy in the Gospels that was casting out devils that didn't even follow with them. This guy's not even born again. Yet he had faith in the name of Jesus, and he is literally casting out devils, but he's not following with them. And so I think it was James and John, the sons of thunder, they rebuked him. Jesus said, don't stop the guy. No, if he's not against me, he's for me, see? But you can cast out devils and not be born again. You can prophesy. May not. Anyway, let's just go on here. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Okay, I'll go ahead and say it. You know what Dave used to always say? Get in the line. If God has a word for you, I'm happy to give it to you. But he says, I got a secret. I can't prophesy unless he speaks. That's real prophecy. That's real prophecy, you know. Okay. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, here it is again. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So I made a note to myself. Religious activities without genuine love for Him and without true repentance from sin is not enough. If you continue to work iniquity till the day you die, and I mean work iniquity till the day you die, you're not going to wake up in heaven. You'll be a believer on the other side, but then it's going to be too late. The door will be shut. I always remember Dave, you know, when he was teaching us about Noah. It took him 100 years to build that boat. 100 years. And it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah, can you imagine he's preaching? Judgment is coming. You need to repent. Judgment is coming. There's coming a flood. Of course, they wondered, what in the world is a flood? But anyway, what? It's rain, you know. The earth was watered by a mist then. But anyway, he kept 100 years. And I remember Dave saying, he labored it out. He's going, not one cousin, not one relative, not a friend, not a single person. He says, preach for 100 years and nobody but your immediate family get on the boat. He says, but boy, when the rain started, when, you know, remember who shut the door? It wasn't Noah shut the door on that ark. It says God shut the door. Yeah, God shut the door. The master has risen up and the door has been shut. Dave says, when that water got about waist deep and it's not stopping, he says, can you imagine the throngs? Can you imagine what Noah and his family heard from inside the boat? Women and with their children and banging and knocking and knocking and knocking. Let us in, let us in, let us in. We heard you preach, Noah, we heard you preach. You preached in our streets. Come on, let us in, let us in. Once that door is shut, we better do our asking, seeking, and knocking now. When he's so happy to see you come running in there. But boy, when he gives you instruction for your personal life, my counsel is we might want to take it real serious. Real serious. Amen. All right. Now where he's taken us really is the love of God. Here's my foundation verse for tonight. I'm going back to it again. 1 Corinthians 8:3. If any man love God. Now what do we learn so far? If you love God, you're going to keep his commandments, aren't you? And it says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. God knows you. All right. Now, Paul was teaching this in what we call the love chapter over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm just going to read just three verses out of there. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm just going to say love, it's agape, have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. You would be amazed at the people I know that speak in tongues, living in fornication and getting high every single week. They don't really have the love of God. They'll tell you they do and they'll cry. You'll talk to them, they get all weepy-eyed and cry. But the truth of it is, according to the Word of God, no, you don't even know Him, much less love Him. You love some other Jesus you've made up in your own mind because this Jesus says stop. And He empowers you to do it. Now, see, I'm the perfect one to teach this because I'm the poster boy. You know, I smoked for eternity in 3 days after I got saved because I did not understand being free. Boy, I understand it now, though. So I'm not a hypocrite. I've been free a long time. Been free of alcohol, been free of other things a long time. I'm the poster boy to tell you, He will walk through hell with you as long as you aren't justifying what you're doing, as long as you don't start saying it's not sin when it is sin. And as long as you continue to do those things like meditate the Word, pray, worship, fast, do those things that will one day, how did Dave say it? One day you will walk out of your problem. Well, thank God, I'm the poster boy for that. But I'm telling you, once you know it, once you know and understand, then you got to act on it. You got to act on it. I had to quit. My body threw a hissy fit. It told me I was going to die. I said, I'm telling you, my body for a year and a half, every breath, I'm going to kill you. Smoked for 42 years and then cut me off a nicotine cold turkey. I will kill you dead. And I felt like I was going to die. But thank God. See, and that's what Peter talks about. He that has suffered in the flesh is free from sin. Sometimes there is a suffering. God can deliver you without withdrawals. I got delivered from alcohol without withdrawals. Thank God for that. But whether you got to go through the withdrawals or not, once you understand, I like a lot of what I'm hearing Nathan teach right now about who we really are in Christ, who we really are. It's time to awake out of our slumber, awake out of our whatever it is, coma. Rise up. Start telling I like what Sue says, flesh, you're not the boss of me. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. Amen. Okay. So I didn't read the three verses. Let me read them. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, how about this one? Though I give my body to be burned. If you ever read Fox's Martyrs, man, they burned them at the stake by the thousands because they wouldn't deny the Word of God. Whew. Give my body to be burned. And have not love, it profits me nothing. We are going into the love of God. And that lesson we just finished today, it culminates in the love of God. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, that is love in, with legs. That's love in action. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Boy, now, you know what a seal is? A seal is when, the king writes a message and they put it in an envelope. And then they take the king's seal and they put it in that hot wax and they, boom. Well, I mean, it is sealed and you best not mess with that. You're off with your head, you know. You don't mess with the king's seal. Well, this foundation has got the seal of the Lord on it. And it's this. The Lord knows them. King James it. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Compare that with our starting verse, 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. So if you love him, he knows it. But if you love him, you keep his commandments. And if you're not keeping his commandments, you don't even know him, much less love him. So the Lord knows them that are his. You know one way he can tell? You departed from iniquity. Can you tell? You departed from iniquity. And that's what he says here. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, I've been talking with Nathan about fruit. You know, he's talking about love coming in. Love's a fruit. And, you know, we're talking. And I'm excited about the revelation God's given him, you know. And I'm trying to understand it. You know, I'm 72 years young. I've been on the planet a while, and I told Nathan, I said, Nathan, I've been on the planet a long time. One thing I have never seen is fruit, whether it be wheat, you know, a field of wheat or corn or fruit trees, apple trees, pear trees, anything. I've never seen fruit appear the same day the seed is planted. Then I thought about that for a while. I said, you know what, though? I've never seen any kind of tree that took 25 years to produce fruit. I called Bronk because they live down there where the orange groves are. You know, I mean, if anybody knows about fruit, it's that bunch in Immokalee. I said, normally from the, I've watched my dad experiment with different trees, but I said, down there, what's your experience when you are planting new fruit trees? How long normally is it before you get fruit? He said, well, most of them, like an orange tree, might be 2 years. Well, that's pretty doggone quick in a way. It's not supposed to be 25 years. Still getting high every week. Still living in fornication. Still smoking. Should have known better. Thank God. I'm going to tell you again, thank God that when you knock, you are his lily cakes. He is glad to see you. I think when he sees you, he says, heaven, hold up, universe, stop just a minute. Yes, what do you need, B? B is here. Universe, stop just a minute. Or whoever you are, he's glad to see you. And I don't care how much baggage you're coming in there with. If my lily cakes had a problem, I'm not going to help her. There's not going to be mercy and help from Papa. Come on. And while we're in this life, this is what Jesus is teaching. Ask, seek, knock. There is no such thing as him not receiving you and helping you and giving you mercy and grace to help. Remember, he used Angie one time to help me understand what grace to help is. We were at a certain place and Angie was there with us, and there was this lady in a wheelchair trying to get, she was coming up to the door of the restaurant, going to have to try and get out. And boy, Angie just rushed up there and opened that door for her and made it easy for her to get out. And I heard as clear as you're hearing my voice, Angie just gave her grace to help in her time of need. That was Angie's grace to help. Well, God has grace to help in your time of need. I don't care what it is. And he's not going to turn you away. But bless God, we got to do all of that now. I wrote down a quote this week. I don't remember the man's name. I believe I can quote it, though. Hang on, give me a second. We are not humans having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human existence experience. See, that's the truth. If you're born again, you are already living forever. You already have eternal life. This little time on planet Earth is the shortest part of your existence. Paul said, I don't care, and Paul died in his 60s, you know. He said, it's like a breath, it's like a mist, it's like a grass in the field here today and gone tomorrow. But this is all we have. This is it to steward for him. This is our life for him. We're either going to live it for him or live it for ourselves. I want to live it for him. And I'm tired of the flesh bossing me around in any way. Tired of it. And if I don't know how to... Yes, sir. And I'm also tired of... I probably still got beams that I don't know I have. You remember this morning's message? The beam in your eye? The problem... I finally understood why he said beam, which is like a log, in your eye, which is really small. You got a big beam and a little eye. Well, it blinds you. And the trouble is, you don't even know you got it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Holy Ghost and the ability to pray in other tongues so that when we don't even know what... I can't pray about a beam I don't know I have. But the Holy Spirit, he makes intercession for me according to the will of God, and he knows everything. Boy, he'll get that beam right out where I can see it, and I'll go... You know, what's funny is we can see each other's beams. You know, I might pray, and all of a sudden I see I got a beam. You know, I go, B, I'm not really like that, am I? And she goes, well, yeah, we all knew it, Gary. You're the only one that didn't know. But then you got to deal with it. And that's where his grace to help. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We got a Savior on the inside. You're not up against this by yourself. He has joined with your spirit and made you into a new creature. You have power that is so scary. Okay, I'm going to start wrapping this up. I was watching a World War II documentary, and it was that same old black and white film. I'm sure you've seen it. First time they ever tested a bomb out in the desert. And man, that thing, I mean, and it just keeps, you know, that cloud and the, man, the internal explosions and the flashes and the power. And it dawned on me, that power is being released, if you'll allow me, from a handful of atoms. The ball of plutonium, uranium, whatever, the actual ball, I've seen it before in documentaries, not much bigger than a softball. You could hold it in your hand if it wouldn't kill you with radioactivity. I mean, but size-wise, you can literally hold it in your hand. And there's enough power in those little atoms, a handful, to do what it did. Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That's in a handful of natural atoms. Paul trying to describe the power of God to usward who believe. You remember that lesson we did a week or so ago? The power to usward who believe. It's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the same power he wrought in you when you're born again. If that handful of atoms has explosive power like that, dear Lord, how much power is on the inside of us? The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, and Tulsa is in revival. I'm looking forward to going all the way into the love of God. Let the world finally see what Jesus died to produce, what the Father really gave us in Christ. I am looking forward to it in Jesus' name. I'm like a little kid. I may be 72, but on the inside, you do know my body says it's aging, but on the inside, I'm renewed day by day. I'm a young man. Anyway, hallelujah. I got to quit. Known of God. That's the title, Angie. This lesson's tonight. Known of God. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Doesn't do any good, though, to just say you love him. Those that love him keep his commandments. All right.